Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 and verse 7. This is the reading of God's word. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Clearly shows us our Lord Jesus Christ, what He has done and what He has accomplished for us. It clearly shows our heavenly reality, what is true of us in heaven forever and ever. And Father, once again, as we hear your word, by your grace, let our faith grow. And Father, let us witness your Son, Jesus Christ. By faith, let us witness the reality of heaven that your Son has already accomplished for us. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this chapter 11 of Hebrews, we're picking some people to look at the faith in action. Faith witnesses the reality of heaven. And through these people in Hebrews 11, we're seeing how that is played out in the lives of God's people. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Faith witnesses the reality of heaven. And we are going to look at the life of Noah, lived by that faith. And let us start from Luke chapter 17. Let's go there. Luke chapter 17. I'm going to read from verse 26. Jesus says this: "And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it shall be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." Our Lord Jesus Christ tells us that the days of the Son of Man, meaning the day of the Lord, His second coming, will be just like the days of Noah. Thus, it is important for us to understand what had happened during the days of Noah. Well, in order for us to do that, we got to go back to Genesis. And I'm going to read to you from Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. "Now it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. Then the Lord said, 'My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years.'" Now there are a few different views on how we are to understand this passage, but I don't have time to go into that today. But simply put, this is how we understand. During the days of Noah, the believers were marrying the non-believers. And the difference between the so-called believers and the non-believers were non-existent. They simply did not care what God commands. Do not yoke with non-believers. And yet, these people, so call themselves Christians, believers, marrying non-believers and live just like the non-believers. The believers compromised with the world and lived according to the sinful world. They were, in fact, non-believers. And according to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 7, God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Thus God said, he will bring judgment, he will blot out all living things on the earth. But in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, this is what we read. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And verse 9, these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. As we have seen last Lord's Day, the phrase walked with God is interpreted by the author of the Hebrews as pleasing God. And he said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Thus, Noah lived by faith. Noah was justified by that faith that God has given to him. His life, because he lived by faith, was pleasing to God. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13, then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. And verse 17 of Genesis 6, and behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life. From under heaven, everything that is on the earth shall perish. And God commands Noah to build the ark. And if we continue to read from verse 18 of Genesis 6, but I will establish, God says, I will establish my covenant with you, Noah, and you shall enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind and of the animals after their kind, of every creeping thing of the ground after its kind, two of every kind shall come to you to keep them alive. And as for you, take for yourself some of all food which is edible and gather it to yourself, and it shall be for food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God has commanded him. So he did. And as you know, all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were opened, and the rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. The whole earth was underwater for 150 days. in Genesis chapter 7, verse 21 through 24, and all flesh that moved on the earth perished. Birds and cattle and beasts and every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth and all mankind. Of all that was on the dry land, all in whose nostril was the breath of the spirit of life died. Thus he blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land, for man to animals, to creeping things, and to birds of the sky, and they were blotted out from the earth. And only Noah was left, together with those that were with him in the ark. And the water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. This is the judgment of God. And Matthew 24, verse 26 through 30, if therefore they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go forth, or behold, he, meaning Messiah, is in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Jesus connects the Noah's flood to his second coming. The Noah's flood is a type of Jesus' second coming. The judgment you see in the Noah's flood is a preview of the last and eternal judgment of God that he will pour out on this world when he comes back. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, and did not spare the ancient world. God did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, even with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Here, Noah is called a preacher of righteousness. He preached the judgment of God. He prepared for the things not seen yet. He lived his life in terms of preparing for the things not yet seen. In today's world, or in today's word, he lived his life in terms of preparing for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He lived by faith. He witnessed that this world will not last forever. It will be destroyed completely when God comes. In a typological way, Noah witnessed that this world is not everything and there is another world, the new world, the eternal world. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. His days shall be 120 years. We could take this as the lifespan of a man. You are born and you will live until you are 120. Because before the flood, people used to live very, very long time. But that is not how we're going to take it. But we'll understand this as God saying that in 120 years, the flood will come. And all the people who are living at the time only has 120 years left before the flood comes and kills them all. If we see it this way, 120 years as time when God says this, you have 120 years until the flood comes. God says, man only has 120 years to live. If we see it like this, then Noah built his ark for 120 years because he started as soon as God commands him to build the ark. 120 years he's building this ark. He lived his life in terms of preparing for that day, preparing for the coming of God in judgment and witness the reality of that day. Can you imagine how much the world had made fun of him? Can you imagine as Noah built his ark, you know, first day, second day, first month, people are interested. What is he doing? But as he builds the ark, he has the message. The world will be destroyed. God is coming. And they probably heard it with interest in the beginning. Oh, yeah? But after 10 years, after 20 years, 30 years, how about 40 years, 50 years? People are laughing at Noah. Judgment of God? You said there will be rain. Where is it? When is it coming? Oh, another beautiful day today. Sun is shining. They mocked him, laughed at him. Can you imagine what kind of life Noah lived? Because that was what his life was all about, preparing for the coming of God. It does not mean that he did not work to grow, you know, crops and, you know, he did all these chores because he had to live every day. So it's not like Noah preparing for the day of the Lord and he was just lazy and sell his house and just be lazy and waiting for that day. No, that's not how we see it. But nevertheless, his life was in terms of preparing for the coming of God. That was his life. That was what his life was all about. And people laughed at him, mocking him. And you and I, we too preach today the judgment day of our God. We too preach the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we too live our lives in terms of preparing for that day. And guess what? The world is laughing at you and me. Nothing has changed. Jesus has said, his days will be just like the Noah's days. Nothing has changed. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to 7. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. Do you understand what Peter is saying? These people, you know, when you say the world will be destroyed, they will laugh at you. And they say, it was just as when it began. What do you mean? But see, they don't remember. They don't know. It was not just as when it began, because In Noah's time, the earth was destroyed. They don't want to remember. They don't want to believe. It escapes their notice. But the present heavens and earth, by his word, are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Do you understand? This world right now, the heavens and earth, is kept for that judgment time. And when that judgment comes, the common grace ends and this world is destroyed. Just like the times of Noah, Noah's flood, it pointed the last judgment of God. Noah lived by faith. He built the ark, witnessing the reality of the last days. This world is not everything, brothers and sisters. This world will be destroyed. And by faith, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, prepare an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world. As he forsakes the world and he prepares that ark, he is preaching to the whole world. And by building that ark, he even condemns the world. And became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Do you understand? Noah? I will tell you later that Noah is type Jesus. And his ark is type church. Type Jesus' body. Do you understand that you and I, as a Christians, we are building the ark even today? The ministry of church is building the ark. And by doing that ministry, we condemn the world. By doing that ministry, we tell the whole world that this world will be destroyed. I mean, if this world will not be destroyed, then whatever we're doing is nonsense. You have to understand what your life is all about, your spiritual reality. The reality that our Lord has accomplished for you. You do not understand things only by what you see in this world. When you do that, you're being deceived. You have to understand your life according to what the Bible tells you. Yes, we're just like Noah, building the ark, preaching the judgment of God. And the whole world will laugh at us. Nothing has changed. You know, they were laughing at Noah even as the first drop of rain started to come down. Even as rain started to come and Noah and all those animals went into the ark, they were laughing. They were mocking. And soon enough, the laughing stopped. Completely stopped. Noah's flood is judgment of God. But what I want to emphasize today is not that. What I want to emphasize is this. That Noah's flood, yes, it is God's judgment, but it is also the salvation of God. Our focus should be on God saving his people. Yes, God saved Noah's family, his people. Although, can you imagine only 8 people out of the whole universe? Oh, God said, it's the same thing as Noah's time when Jesus is coming back. Do you think there will be so many true Christians living on this earth when Jesus is coming? make the comparison. Jesus tells us it will be the same. That's why Jesus says, when I come back, where could I find true faith? Where? And I pray that he could find true faith here in Christ and Heaven OPC. It is God's salvation of his people, the new creation of God. Yes, God judges this sinful world, but God also saves his people from the judgment and destruction. In a typological way, Noah and his family are saved. It's not true salvation. It was typological salvation. Because true salvation is not you just being saved from the worldly flood. No, true salvation is that you save from the world itself and deliver unto new world. But we see from Noah's salvation what is true of the true salvation that Jesus brings. In a typological way, Noah and his family are saved. Noah is a type Jesus Christ, and the ark is also type Jesus and his church. Through Noah, his whole family is saved. Just like it, through Jesus Christ, his whole family is saved. And when Jesus returns, Jesus will, just like Noah, will gather his family from the four corners of the world. In Noah's flood, we see the new creation, the salvation of God. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 says, "And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water." This is how the creation begins in Genesis 1. When you look at the earth in Genesis 1, what do you see? The whole earth is covered with water. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is hovering over the surface of the water. And here the Spirit of God, in original language, Hebrews, it means wind. Only the context will tell you whether the Bible is speaking of wind or the Spirit. Especially when you have the word holy in front of wind, holy wind, you know it's the Holy Spirit. But without looking at the context, the word for Spirit and word for wind, they're the same. So you can't really tell. Now we see the same picture from the Noah's flood. Again, the whole earth is under the water, just like Genesis 1 verse 2. It is covered with water. And in Genesis chapter 8 verse 1, it says God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark, and God caused a wind, same word that we see, that was translated as the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, the wind, to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. Do you see it then? In Genesis 1, the whole earth is covered with water, and the Holy Spirit was hovering. And that's how the creation begins. In Noah's flood, same thing. The earth is covered with water and the wind is blowing. And in Genesis, creation begins with, "Let there be light." And God separates the light from darkness. We see the same thing in the Noah's flood. The children of light are separated from the children of darkness. The children of light are separated and they were put into the ark, and the children of darkness are dying in the flood. Do you see the light being separated from the darkness? Let there be light. Then in Genesis, we see the water dividing on the second day. And the land appears on the third day. We see the same thing in the Noah's flood. Wind blows and the water subsides. Water divides and the land appears. And the vegetation and the animals and the men are created. And we see all of them in the ark that Noah made. And God finishes his creation and rests. Just like what we read in Noah's flood, the ark came to rest at the Mount Ararat. And when Noah comes out of the ark, what he sees is, in a typological way, the new heaven and the new earth. Okay? Just picture it. When Noah comes out from his ark, when he sees what he sees, in a typological way, it's the new heavens and new earth. Because old heaven and old earth was destroyed by the flood. The days of our Lord Jesus Christ will be the same. God will judge the world, but his people will be saved, and to them the new heaven and the new earth shall be given. Just like Noah made a sacrifice after he came out of the ark, the God's people who will be saved out of the last judgment will worship God forever and ever. Noah's flood is a story of new creation. Noah's story is God's salvation story. New creation. And Noah lived by faith and witnessed the reality of this new creation. The ark itself points to the new creation. Just like the Bible's description of this universe as the first and the second and the third heaven, the ark is built as a structure that has three stories. When you look at Noah and how he lived, the message is very clear that this world is not everything. This world will be destroyed. There will be coming the new world. And everything about his life was about focusing on that. He lived his life in terms of preparing for that new heavens and new earth. He lived by faith. Through his life, then, he witnessed the reality of heaven. Noah's flood points to Jesus' second coming. The new world is given through the judgment of the old world. Noah witnessed through his life the reality of this world being judged and the new world being given to God's people. Just like the Noah's flood comes and the new heaven and new earth is given, our Lord Jesus Christ comes with the last judgment and the new heaven and new earth is given to God's people. Noah's family coming out of the ark points to the resurrection of God's people. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water, and corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Peter connects our baptism with the Noah's flood. Through that water, eight people were saved. Now through the baptism. No, the baptism, water baptism itself doesn't save anybody. But what that baptism points to, our heavenly reality, where the Holy Spirit baptism, where we are dying with Christ and resurrecting with Christ, that saves us. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The baptism witnesses to that reality. We die with Christ and we resurrect it with Christ. All of this heavenly reality is already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritually, it is already our present heavenly reality. We have learned through the book of Revelation that even now the judgment of God is being poured out on this sinful world. In the book of Revelation, you see picture of earthquake, flood, famine. The judgment of God is being poured out on this sinful world. Do you understand, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? Let me tell you the secret. The rain has started. It's not time for non-Christian to laugh at us. The end is at hand. Rain has started to come down, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Do you see what is going on in this world? And do you see the rain has already started to come? Yes, the final judgment of God is not yet, but we see the rainstorm gathered already and the rain started to come down already. But even in the flood of God's judgment, you and I are safe in Jesus Christ. We are already the citizens of heaven. We already have received Jesus and His kingdom as our eternal inheritance. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, understand what is going on. God is coming. And your life should be in terms of preparing for His coming. And you need to realize that rain has already started to come down. What if Jesus comes tomorrow? What, you're going to tell me He just cannot? He could come any time now. Oh, it could be, you know, million years from today. I hope not. But see, when you live this way, when you live like Noah, when you live in preparation for God's coming, the world thinks you are the most stupid people in the world. Because it is stupid to them. What are you talking about? Why you want to waste your life preparing for God's coming? Give me a break, they say. No, have a bigger hope, right? Have a bigger dream. Be big in this world. Yes, let them be big. And we see what will happen when Jesus returns. This is not to scare you. Because if you prepare grudgingly or just because you're scared, that's not what God wants. But that you understand the reality. You understand what is really going on even today. Otherwise, God will come like a thief. But the same passage tells us that for us, He will not come like a thief. Why? Because we are waiting for Him. You know, if you wait for somebody, you're eagerly waiting for somebody, how can He come as a thief? Because you're waiting for Him. As soon as you see Him, you'll be very glad that He now appears. That is not coming like a thief. But if your whole focus is in something else, then He will come like a thief for you. Be prepared. Because This is the truth. He will come. And every Christian, true Christian in the whole universe, they pray that he will come quickly. Oh, the power of prayer. You know how many Christians have been praying for his quick return? You think God will ignore those prayers? Millions and millions of Christians throughout the history have been praying for his quick return. And he will come. Live by faith, brothers and sisters. Live like Noah, preparing for that day. Always remembering that even if the judgment comes, even if Jesus returns, we are safe because we are in the ark. We are in Jesus Christ. It's not a day to be dreaded, is the day that we eagerly wait for. Because that day we will be saved. Jesus Christ our Lord has already received the last and the final judgment of God for you and for me. He received the eternal judgment of hell in our places on the cross. And through his death and resurrection and through faith that he gives us, we have already been saved out of sin and out of this world. Let us witness that reality as we live our lives here on earth, as we live by faith. Let us witness that this world is not everything, that there is another world, there is better world, there is eternal world. Let us witness that God will judge this sinful world. Let us witness that we have something that is far better, far greater than anything that this world can offer to us. Let us witness that we already have something that is so precious that we cannot exchange even if they give us everything in this world. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we see the unseen. Second Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but things which are not seen are eternal. Let us live our lives in terms of preparing for the day in which all of our heavenly reality will be visibly consummated. Let us encourage one another. Can you picture Noah? The whole world is mocking at him, laughing at him, but he continues to build his ark. And where did his encouragement come? From God and from his family. Because they were in it together. Let us encourage one another as we live this life. Life of preparing. The things, preparing for the things that are not seen yet. Your life, you must understand. You must understand your life in terms of preparing for heaven. Preparing for eternal life. Practicing heaven. Because that is our life. How we're going to live forever and ever. And brothers and sisters, this worship right now, when you worship God, what do you think this is if it is not preparing for that eternal life. Do you understand? That is your life. Without you even realizing it, as you come to worship, you're preparing for that day. You're preparing for heaven. You're practicing heaven. This is who we are and what our lives are all about. Let us build this ark together. Build Jesus' church. No, we're not talking about buildings. We're talking about God's people. As they grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, grow in the Word, we're building. And that is exactly how Paul describes it. We are fitting together to be built as the eternal dwelling of God. Man, that life of heaven has already begun. Please, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, see your life in terms of preparing for God's coming. This is how Christians live. This is what it means to live by faith. So that when He comes, no one here will be surprised, but that we will be glad that He comes. That we could run out to Him, welcoming Him. For we live our lives in terms of waiting for Him. Do not live your life as if what we're saying here is a lie. Do not live your life as if He will never come. That this world is everything. Then you will live a failure life. Disastrous life. But God is warning us so that we may be like Jesus Christ, which Noah was pointing to, the preacher of righteousness. And as you preach the righteousness, you condemn the world. Let's live by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Oh Father, we give You all the glory. We thank You for the faith that You have given to us. And with this faith that You have given to us, let us witness the eternal reality of our salvation. Who we are, what is true of us forever and ever. Let us show to the whole world that this world is not everything. There is another world, far better and greater world, that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Let us live our lives clearly showing the reality of that world. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.